Praise the Lord, everyone. It is good to be here. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Oh, and it is a privilege to serve our God, the one who made us. Oh, yes, the one who has all power. I just couldn't help but think as we were singing how amazing it is going to be to see our Lord when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, yes, as everything on this earth ends, as we see Jesus as he is. And oh, yes, as we join him forever and ever. However it will be, if we're already at home with the Lord and united with our body, or caught up to meet him in the air. So whatever it will be, but that moment is coming, and we're so blessed to have that knowledge, to know and be able to trust our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's begin with prayer here and ask God to move in our hearts and in our lives to have his way in this message. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for such an honor and a privilege. Oh, God, we have your word. We have the pages of thy word, oh, Lord, and we have hope in thy word. Oh, God, it feeds our souls and it directs our paths. Oh, God, it leads us in the way everlasting. And we are so privileged to know thee. We are so privileged to have thy word. I pray, oh, God, that you would feed us here tonight, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you give us that spiritual manna from on high, Lord. Oh, God, that our souls might be fed and that you might encourage our spirits, Lord. Oh, God, we need you, Lord. We could do nothing without you. And I just pray that your word would come alive, that you would use it for thy name's sake, that you'd help us, Lord, as your children. Lord, you know about our struggles. You know about our needs. You know about, oh, God, the needs for healing, God. And, oh, God, every infirmity thou knowest. And, oh, God, there is nothing too hard for you, Lord. I pray that you make faith in our hearts, that you work in us, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that you get us to that higher ground, Lord. And, oh, God, that you would stir our spirits. Give us faith to believe you, Lord. Give us faith to go forward and, oh, God, to stand on thy promises. Oh, God, to walk with you regardless. Oh, God, to be determined in our hearts. Oh, God, to learn how to fight the good fight of faith, Lord, to lay hold on eternal life. I pray that you'd help us here tonight, Lord, that your word come alive. Oh, God, I give this message to you. I ask you to use it. I ask you to give me the words, oh, God, and that it would be for thy glory and for thy name's sake. Oh, God, to encourage your people and to strengthen them in the way everlasting. Oh, God, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Oh, it's good to know the Lord. Amen. It's good to have his promises. Oh, thank the Lord. Despite everything that's rocking and reeling in this world, we have something to hang on to. That's our God. Amen. And that's his word. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message here just a minute. I guess I'm on the wrong page. So let me just see. Here we go. We're going to call this message, Out of the Kingdom of Darkness into the Kingdom of Light. Or if you want to condense it, Out of Darkness into Light, that's okay too, there on the title. But praise the Lord, there is a kingdom of darkness. And we were once all a part of that darkness. But what a wonderful day when the Lord Jesus reached down and touched our lives and changed us and began to breathe into us. Oh, that eternal life. Oh, what a wonderful day that is when we became transformed by the power of his blood, amen. And oh, yes, delivered out of that power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Praise our God. That is such a gift and that is such a privilege. We can begin to rejoice in our Lord here tonight. But I know this rejoicing is one that begins now and continues for all eternity. Amen. Oh, I can't imagine really quite how it's going to be to be forever at home with the Lord and, you know, just have all this restlessness of this life, all the wrestlings and all the turmoil, all the trouble, completely over and forever in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Well, let's go into some scripture here tonight, and let's just see how the Lord will lead us here as we open up His Word and, oh yes, ask Him to have His way in our hearts. Praise our God. Oh, yes. Let's just begin with that verse in Colossians. I just quoted it, but anyway, let's just read it. It's in Colossians, the first chapter, and it is verse 13. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And yes, that 12th verse, it also reads, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Amen. Praise the Lord. God takes our lives, and then, oh yes, He begins to chisel away and work on us. Oh yes, to make us fit or meet to be in His kingdom. And praise the Lord for that. Oh, because His kingdom is a kingdom of light. Amen. We all had been in that kingdom of darkness. Amen. You know, we look at the very first verses in the Bible, there in Genesis, the first chapter, we see how the earth was at the very beginning. And let's just note these few verses here in Genesis, the first chapter. It says in verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So, how can we comprehend that, really, you know? But in the beginning, the heaven and the earth was created. And then verse 2 gives us a description of the earth at that point. It says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Well, let's just consider this for a moment here. You know, that description in verse 2, we have the earth. It doesn't have any form to it. It's void. It's empty, in other words. And darkness, it tells us, was upon the face of the deep. So was it like a watery substance of some sort or whatever? I mean, it doesn't have any shape. And it's empty and it's dark. Anyway, it doesn't sound very nice. But at the appointed time, the Spirit of God came upon the scene. And I believe it was His presence that moved upon the face of the waters. And oh yes, that statement, when He uttered those words, so it was. Oh yes, He came upon that earth that was without form and void and dark. And He said, "Let there be light." And praise the Lord, and there was light. Oh, what a difference the light of God makes. And so it is, there it was in the natural sense. But we know as individuals that there was a time that we were all in darkness. And, you know, I don't believe we comprehended that darkness. You know, we didn't really fully realize how we were. But suddenly, God began to move in our lives. And He began to give us insight. And He began to talk to our hearts. And He began to move in our lives. Praise the Lord. And yes, things began to change because, yes, the presence of the Lord came into that of our, you know, our inward being, which was empty and it was dark and, you know, it was without light. Yes, and then how we needed a Savior. Praise the Lord. It talks about that in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. We can just read a few verses here as we begin here tonight. It says in verse 1 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And here, oh yes, we have a description of how we all were before the light of the Lord Jesus came into our lives. It says in verse 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." And verse 6, please note it. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, just as God commanded the light to shine out of darkness there in the beginning in the physical world, he came to us when we were in great darkness without knowledge of our God and Savior, or if we had it wasn't without depth. It wasn't without a real meaning. We hadn't really connected and realized what it was all about. But all at once, that light, like a flashlight of God, began to shine on our lives. And oh, once we could see the light of the glorious gospel, our need to turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of our sins, yes, to give them over to the Lord Jesus. And then, yes, as we gained understanding, we realized the need to be buried in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with a promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that's the difference that the light of the Lord Jesus has made in our lives. And yes, so we see things entirely different than before. Oh, yes, we gain understanding that we did not have, and all at once, oh, yes, the things that were a mystery to us, or unconceivable even, or just not known or even considered, oh, become a reality. And yes, as we repent, you know, there's a description here in this chapter here, 2 Corinthians, that renouncing all the hidden things of dishonesty, the things that were, you know, a part of our makeup in the past, and that craftiness, all the trickery and all the schemes and all the things that we once considered or even did. And oh my, definitely not wanting to handle the Word of God deceitfully. Oh my, we must be so careful how we handle this precious Word of God. Oh, this treasure that he has given us. Because, oh yes, it brings forth the truth of God's light to us and to everyone that will hear it and give heed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. But yes, it was the greatness and goodness of the Lord. Because, yes, it tells us in that fourth verse that the God of this world had blinded our minds before we knew the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, we were hindered. The devil didn't want us to understand the glorious gospel. But praise the Lord, what a wonderful day when we begin to see and understand. And oh, yes, that light of the glorious gospel of Christ was revealed to our hearts. And we could give heed and we could turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus. And we could realize what a treasure we have. Oh, yes, with the Lord deep within our lives as we give our lives over to the Lord. And let Him work in us to make us what we ought to be in Him. Oh, yes, to fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We can imagine what a change came upon us when that light shone. And I know we have that example in God's Word when, yes, individuals came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God. And right now, I'm thinking of the minister Paul. And oh yes, he didn't realize that he was persecuting God when he was going after Christians and bringing them in to be punished, even to be executed. He thought he was doing Godspeed. But oh my, what a wonderful moment when God intervened in his life. Oh, praise the Lord. We have his story in several places in the book of Acts. But in particular, I would like to go to the 26th chapter of the book of Acts for a few minutes here. As Paul is giving his testimony, he's standing before King Agrippa, and oh my, what a testimony he is giving this king. But here it is, and we can just read some of this here as he goes forth to address King Agrippa, praise the Lord, tells us in Acts the 26th chapter, verse 1, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth a hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." Then he begins to tell a little bit about his youth. Verse 4, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Oh, yes, that was his pursuit. But praise God, something happened, and he begins to tell about it here in verse 12. "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we all were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Oh, what a moment. What a moment. Oh, yes, as God intercepted the life of Saul, and he realized, oh, yes, that the Lord was Jesus. And, oh, yes, by persecuting the Christians, by persecuting those that named the name of Christ, he was persecuting God. But praise the Lord. Oh, in the midst of all of that, he was informed that, oh, yes, there was a reason. God was changing him. God was intercepting his life, and he would never be the same. Praise God. He's told in verse 16, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And yes, he was going to be sent to the Gentiles. He was going to be specifically sent to them. Oh, yes, for this reason, as it reads in verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad that God was able to work in that life. Oh, the mighty, amazing events that followed, because the one who had been called Saul was converted and saw that light, God appearing to him as a great light and then talking to his heart and, oh my, changing him by his power and grace. Of course, yes, he was blinded by that light. It was so brilliant. It was so bright. And he was told to go into Damascus and there would be one who would tell him what he needed to do. And praise the Lord, God had worked it out very precisely, because there was a man named Ananias that God had prepared and told him that there was one, Saul of Tarsus, who is praying. Oh yes, and he had seen in a vision, he had seen one named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Of course, we're talking about physical sight, but we are also talking about spiritual sight. Ananias at the first, oh, because he had heard of all the horrendous things that this Saul of Tarsus had done. He wasn't, you know, something that he was inclined to do. Oh, in Acts 9, verse 13, it tells us, Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But praise the Lord, there was going to be a different man. Oh, yes, as God had begun to work in Saul of Tarsus. And the Lord said unto him in verse 15 here in Acts 9, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And you know, as we were in that 26th chapter of the book of Acts, you know, we see, oh yes, and much of that has been fulfilled. And even in this 26th chapter, Saul of Tarsus, who has become Paul the Apostle, is witnessing before King Agrippa. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, Paul did suffer many great things for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, you know, here in the 9th chapter of Acts, it tells us in verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I know we don't have, you know, all the precise details right there in that scripture, but it does tell us in verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And I believe, oh yes, most likely as he was baptized, he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you know, again, I said we don't have a lot of details, but all we know in the book of 1 Corinthians, that 14th chapter, Paul declared, I speak in tongues more than y'all. Amen. And yes, amen. Oh, the Lord met Saul of Tarsus and changed him. But oh, yes, he was given a mission. And as we read in Acts, the 26th chapter, that mission was to open the eyes of the blinded Gentiles, so that spiritually they would be turned from darkness to light, and they would be released from the power of the devil, of Satan, unto God. And oh yes, with that to receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, the one who is able to take our lives and transform us. Oh, yes, to take us from that spiritual bondage, that spiritual darkness, and turn us into the kingdom of light. Oh, yes, to make us his own children, his own sons and daughters. Oh, God knows how precious it is. But yes, that releasing from the power of Satan unto the power of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank our God, translated into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Amen. As it says in Colossians, that first chapter, verse 13. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful gift that we have been given. Let's go to 1 Peter here to read on a little bit more and have more understanding this subject. Oh, yes, as God works in us and begins to chisel away and get off the rough edges and make us his own. Oh, yeah, there's a work in progress. And, yeah, one that is very needful, because one day we're all going to stand before God. And how necessary it's going to be to be prepared, to be ready, to be right in his sight, to be accepted in his sight. And oh yes, this life here on earth is short. But during this lifetime, it is so important that we get ready to meet the King. Oh yes, and we turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus while we have time. We don't know the number of our days, but praise the Lord, it is so necessary that while we have a little bit of time, we give heed to the glorious gospel and turn from that bondage of darkness, that kingdom of darkness, and allow the Lord to work in our lives. Praise the Lord. And yes, there's going to be great changes as we come into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Here we have some descriptions in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. Tells us in verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, praise the Lord. So yes, he's going to take us. You know, God knows what traits we had before we met the Lord Jesus. But oh my, we're going to lay aside all those nasty characteristics, those traits. Any malice, you know, that spirit that would, attempt to cause us to want to harm other people. And any guile, or that word is close to beguile, have that spirit of deception or deceit, try to, pull the wool over somebody's eyes, or, just maybe even not just plain tell the truth as it needs to be told. And hypocrisies, there's a lot of hypocrites in this world. Pretenders, in other words, or actors, if you want to take that word literally, who just, pretend to be perhaps a Christian when they're far from it. And envy, so am I, having, covetous desires and evil speaking. Oh, people so often try to put down another person and make them sound nasty. But oh my, these things are to be laid aside. These things are not to be traits of one who has given their life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, it tells us as newborn babes, because yes, as that life in Christ begins in us, it's like we're newborn babes. We're starting afresh, and he's beginning to work in us. And there is a need to grow, so we need the sincere milk of the word. Oh yes, sincere there means the genuine milk of the word. We need it authentically, that we may grow thereby. Amen. Yes, this word of life that feeds our soul, so that, yes, we can develop. We can go on to maturity. We don't have to continue to be newborn babes in the Lord Jesus. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, yes, that wonderful moment when he came to us and revealed himself to us. I mean, just as Saul of Tarsus had that moment of revelation when, oh yes, Jesus appeared to him and revealed himself to him. So it has been with every one of us. That moment when God became real to us. And we were willing to turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, so he could work in us, so that we could repent of our sins and give it all over to the Lord Jesus Christ and go forward to be baptized in his name. You have the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise our God. And it goes on to say here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Oh, we were once dead in our trespasses in sin. Oh, we were once out there living, the way we thought we wanted to live and doing the things that, the natural man wants to do. Going forward in that manner. But oh, thank God, we were able to come to the Lord Jesus, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Oh, our God is alive. His word is alive. Praise the Lord. He's not dead, and he comes to live in our hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it says disallowed, or that means rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Oh, so precious and so wonderful. Oh, yes, to be chosen of God. And it tells us in verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we become, oh, yes, that spiritual house, part of that, oh, church of the living God. And, oh, yes, a part of His holy priesthood. And with that, we can offer spiritual sacrifices. And here we're talking about things, deeds, a life that is lived. As we're told in Romans, the 12th chapter, the need to present our body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And with that, it's letting go. It's letting go. It says, and be not conformed to this world. We've got to let go of the things of this world, the tendencies, the thoughts, all the desires, all the things that are of the flesh. But praise the Lord, by His power and enablement, we can be transformed. We can be changed. Oh, yes, we can be made new creatures in Christ by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord with His strength, with His help. Oh, that His ability to help us so that we can overcome those human tendencies that with His, but that by His grace and mercy we let go of, so that we're not living in conformity to this world, but allowing Him to change us so we can be transformed into the image of His dear Son. Oh, praise the Lord. And therefore, oh yes, by that renewing of our minds, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Oh, praise our Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Psalms chapter 51 also talks about spiritual sacrifices here. And it tells us in Psalms 51, I believe I'll start with verse 15. It tells us in verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not, thou delightest not in burnt offering. And of course, their sacrifice in verse 16 is talking about burnt offerings. But then verse 17 explains, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. It is beautiful how the Lord takes us. He takes our life and, oh, He begins to, you know, help us to see who we are without Him. He breaks our spirit, you could say, so that, oh, we're realizing our great need for the living God. He breaks us in that way. Oh, it takes away that pride and, you know, many of our ambitions and goals that we're not in Christ. And it gives us a contrite heart. Oh, that ability to see. Contrite refers to being sincerely remorseful or repentant, feeling regret and sorrow for one's sin. Oh, what a day that is. What a moment that is when the Lord begins to show us how we are without Him. What's inside, all the nastiness, all the worldliness, oh my, all the demonic activity that goes on without the Lord. And He breaks us up inside so that we can fall on the rock Christ Jesus and turn our lives over to Him, and gives us that contrite heart so that we can repent. Now that is a gift from God. when he helps us to see and understand who we are without him, and how we need him, how we need to repent. Oh yes, it's not of ourselves. It's not of anything that we could do. There is nothing within us that we could boast of. But thank God, his grace and his mercy, his willingness to shine his light upon us so that we could see that all at once, oh yes, our life, oh, is revealed, that great need to turn our life over to the living God. And praise the Lord, as we do so, we become lively stones in this kingdom. Praise the Lord. Oh, building up that spiritual house, that dwelling place that the Lord comes to reign and dwell in. Praise the Lord. And yes, those sacrifices that we offer him are spiritual. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 15 and 16 explained. It says in verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And besides, beyond, in verse 16, it says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how he changes us. Oh, and the desires, the ambitions, the goals begin to change. And oh, yes, we can offer that sacrifice of praise. Oh, it says to offer it continually. Praise the Lord, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, with that, you know, the response to try to help one another, to love one another, to have fellowship with one another, to do good. And to communicate, it says to forget not. Oh, communicate means to give, to share, to have fellowship with, to forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Oh, yes, our whole lifestyle. Yes, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto our God so that we can do his will and have victory over the lust of the flesh, the lust thereof, that would naturally be a part of our being. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So we continue here in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. It tells us in verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Praise the Lord. Confounded there means ashamed. Not be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, the plan of God. Oh yes, as the Lord Jesus would come into the scene. Oh yes, change the course of events. As he taught the people, as he ministered to the people, as he laid hands on the people, and oh, they received their sight. They begin to walk. Oh, yes, they begin to live changed lives. They were delivered from unclean spirits and so many things. But praise the Lord, initially, Jesus came to lay down his life, to give his life a ransom for many. And oh yes, in doing so, he became that chief cornerstone. Oh, praise the Lord, the cornerstone in the temple of the living God. He's the foundation, and without that foundation, there is no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation that he presented, that he brought forth, that he declared. And praise the Lord, his people are built upon that foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. You can't remove the chief cornerstone. It all would crumble if you try. But praise the Lord, if you can lay your life upon that chief cornerstone. Oh, praise the Lord, if you can believe on Him and obey the gospel. Oh, praise the Lord. We are told that we will not be confounded. Verse 7 tells us, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Oh yes, many people did not see and understand. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But we know, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh yes, there was a rebirth, a new birth that was connected to that, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Praise the Lord. Oh yes. Our gracious Savior who came into the world. Oh yes, who was the true light that had come to show us the way. Sad to say, there were many that, although they saw the works that Jesus did, although they heard His testimonies, His teachings, His doctrine, there were many that could not fall on the rock Christ Jesus and turn their lives over to Him. We're told in John, the 3rd chapter, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20 here in John, the 3rd chapter, tells us, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there was condemnation to those that would not fall on the rock, Christ Jesus, and turn their lives over to God. Oh, yes, because, in order to do so, they had to acknowledge that they were sinners. They had to acknowledge that they needed a Savior. Oh, yes, they had to repent. But those that didn't want their evil deeds to be exposed are those that loved the darkness rather than the light and didn't allow the light of God's Word to expose their evil, their naughtiness, their dirty deeds, their sin. But praise the Lord for those that allowed that light to shine. Oh, it hurt. It hurt at the first to realize what we had done and how we were. But thank God, that willingness to turn our lives over to God, to repent, to acknowledge our need for the Savior, brought salvation, to let that light shine upon us. Oh, so those nasty things could be revealed to us, so we could repent. There was a problem with most of the scribes and the Pharisees in the time of Jesus. They were those that loved darkness rather than light. Oh, yes, they had an air about them. They wore their long robes and, they wanted to behave as they, were religious and holy to their way of thinking. But they refused to bend their knees, to acknowledge their sin, to come to the light. Therefore, Jesus couldn't help them, because that's what it takes. It takes that realization that we are a sinner before the Lord can help us and save us from that spiritual darkness that once was a very strong part of our existence. Oh, thank the Lord for the light of His Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Going back to 1
Peter chapter 2, it tells us in verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Oh, how beautiful it is. Oh, we were all out there. It tells us in verse 10, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Oh, yes, Peter is addressing Gentiles, the strangers that were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, as we can tell in the first verse of the first chapter of 1 Peter. He's talking about a people that had not been included in the first covenant. But praise the Lord by the grace of God. Oh, by his great grace, his mercy unto us, he made out of the Gentile people a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, praise the Lord, and a peculiar people. Oh yes, peculiar in the sense that we're rare and that we're special, that we're a treasure. Do you know how that is in the eyes of God? How he regards his people? How dear we are to him? Oh, praise the Lord. That word peculiar is very dear. That's how the Lord sees his people, his own treasure. Oh, his jewels. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, we become a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Oh, yes, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, and a chosen generation, a called out people that are chosen to go forth and declare the works of our God, despite the fact that in time past we were not a people, but are now the people of God, which in time past we had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Oh, our good works that are wrought in Christ are a witness against the evil. Oh, yes, they shall be declared in the day of visitation. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. In many ways here as, oh, yes, we stand before the Lord. How precious it is going to be to be wrought in Christ. Oh, to have been changed by God's mercy and by God's grace. Amen. Amen. Let's go to another epistle right now. Let's go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Amen. And here we have more admonishment here, how we need to conduct our lives as the called out ones, the ecclesia, the church of the living God. Oh, yes, the word church means ecclesia. Oh, it means called out ones. And that's how God sees his people. We have been called out of the kingdom of darkness and been brought into that wonderful kingdom of his light. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the kingdom of our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so here we are instructed in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, verse 1, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Oh, praise the Lord, that fragrance. Oh, yes, the work that the Lord Jesus did on our behalf, that we might obtain salvation. And yes, we are to walk in that love, that agape love that he showed for us.
that love that he has portrayed on our behalf. Praise the Lord and be followers, therefore, of God as dear children. But oh my, there are things that must be cast aside. There are things that must not be a part of our makeup as we walk with the Lord. Verse 3 tells us, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Oh, he's talking about works of the flesh here in this third verse. And you know, that word fornication, I don't think it's too well understood at this point. But oh my, there are, you know, activities that are sexual activities that are done between people that are not married when they, you know, go forth and fornicate. And then it talks about all uncleanness, and that encompasses a large area of perverted activity, including homosexuality and other sins of that ilk. And then it talks about covetousness. Oh, we don't want to be full of that greed, and oh my, that, you know, that jealousy, that jealous spirit that, you know, wants things that belong to others, and you know, to covet things that are not ours. And it tells us clearly here that these traits not once be named among you as become a saints. Oh, these characteristics do not belong in a Christian. And why, if you find yourself, you know, in this category, there's one word, and that is to repent. Amen. To turn from that. And then it goes on to say in verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving a thanks. So my flippant, you know, talk, you know, that's just foolish and, you know, maybe even destructive. And of course, you know, nothing that's filthy. God forbid that we would have filthy thoughts or do filthy deeds. It's something that must not be in the life of a Christian. It says, which are not convenient, and that meaning not appropriate, but rather giving of thanks. Oh, that necessity to give thanks in all things. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on to tell us, verse 5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Okay, so, you know, it's just plain talk here. That, you know, if you're a whoremonger, you know, you deal with whores or fornicate in various ways, in any acts of uncleanness, or you know that covetous spirit, and that's comparable to an idolater, tells us those of that ilk have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6 tells us, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Oh my, you know, there's no inheritance, and it's going to bring about his wrath. If you're caught, your life ends in this sort of pit, you know, then my, there's nothing awaiting you but God's wrath, because you are labeled as the children of disobedience. And oh my, we live in a world where sin is covered up. And yes, yeah, people call evil good and good evil. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, darkness for light and light for darkness. That's deception.
Oh, yes, that's keen deception when, you know, you're doing wrong, you're sinning, and you don't know it, you're deceived. You compare yourself perhaps to everybody else and just thinking, you know, that God certainly would not judge me because of that. But oh my, our God came to this world as the man Christ Jesus to take away the sin of the world. Oh yes, as John the Baptist cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He came to save us from our sins, so we didn't have to walk in those sins, in those trespasses. Oh, we didn't have to think evil thoughts and do evil deeds. No, we are delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We turn our lives over to Him and let Him begin His work in us. And oh yes, we don't put these things down. We have nothing but God's wrath awaiting us. And it goes on to tell us in verse 7, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Oh my, we're not, you know, to be, you know, dealing, you know, closely with people. I know we're in the world, and of course, you know, we have to, you know, sometimes, you know, go shopping and do this and that, have other dealings with people out there. But, you know, we don't want close associations. We don't want to be partakers with them. We don't want to do what they do or get involved with their evil. And it tells us in verse 8, all this reminder, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Oh yes, there's a difference when the Lord Jesus comes into our life and begins to change us. We were all out there in that world of darkness, but everything changed when Jesus came into our lives. And oh yes, we are light in the Lord at this point then, if we've turned it over to God. And we need to walk as children of light, therefore. Walk accordingly, therefore. For it tells us in verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Amen. Oh, yes, the things that God would have us to do, the fruit that He puts in the lives of His people, and how He desires that we would be fruitful. Oh yes, and by so doing, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Oh yes, as you know, we walk this earth, you know, we're making a statement, and people can see. You know, we might think we're fooling. And perhaps, maybe you can fool a few people. You'll never fool God, however. And I'm sure there are many people that are going to see through you too, eventually, if not right away. But oh yes, our life, we're making a statement. And yes, we're proving what is acceptable unto the Lord if, you know, we're living in the light. If we're walking in His ways, we do need to adjust our lives according to God's thinking, God's ways, God's concepts, what He approves of, His ways. Oh my, you know, we're told clearly that, you know, our ways are not God's ways. And our thoughts are not God's thoughts. In ourselves, we're on a different level. It's only when we come into His kingdom and we begin to walk in the light that we can see and realize the concepts that are of God and put on Christ. And oh yes, whether we are told in verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Oh, the light and the darkness do not mix. And oh, yes, we just, you know, we can't fellowship with the things that are unclean, the things that are works of darkness. But rather, there is a need to reprove such. Oh, there are so many things in the underground world that all we want no part of. It's horrible even to hear of them. And, you know, we're told in verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. All the things that they do and they try to hide, they try to conceal. God sees it though. And we don't want any part of that. We must never be partakers of that. Oh, the world of the occult, all the creepy things of the underground, of the world of the occult, oh, the spirits of wickedness, the macabre, you know, things that suggest horror or death or decay, all the rottenness of this world. A Christian isn't going to be partaker of that. I don't know how anybody who could name the name of Christ could partake in Halloween. It's filthy. Its background is full of depravity and horrendous things that, you know, we don't even want to give our minds to. And therefore, oh, how we want to avoid such. Oh, yes, there's so much that, you know, they do. Or even we might have done when we didn't know the Lord. And they are shameful. They are despicable. Oh, they are something that we never want to be a part of. And yes, again, as it told us in verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Oh, we don't want them to be a part of our lives. Never, never, never. And we surely can't even dwell on such things. They're too horrible. But oh my, how we pray that there would be a people God can even, oh yes, take out of such a world and deliver them out of that terrible bondage, out of that terrible darkness, and bring them unto Himself. But oh my, we need to reprove such things. Never, never to be a partaker of such. It tells us in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, that light of the Lord Jesus Christ that comes into our life. And those evil deeds, those things of sex, those things of sin, those things of homosexuality, all those, you know, ugly, terrible things that are not of God. And I'm talking about things that are adulterous or of fornication and not, you know, in the allowance that God makes with marriage. But yes, those things are to be reproved. Our lives should be such that, oh yes, there will be a reproof by the way we conduct our lives and by the words that we speak. And of course, the Word of God itself is going to be that flashlight on the lives of every individual. And oh, it's so important to give heed to the things that, oh, we have heard, so that, oh yes, we can make our calling and election sure, so that we can do the work of God and get our lives in accordance to God's word, because all those things are going to be reproved. They are going to be made manifest by the light. In other words, they're going to be revealed by the light of God, by the words that are written in His word. We're going to be judged by the Word of God. How important it is to give heed to it while we have a little time. Amen. So we are admonished in verse 14, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh, that need to rise out of that spiritual deadness, that bondage. We were all back there at that point before we knew the Lord. But oh, yes, that call to life. Oh, yes, when Jesus made himself known to us, so that, oh yes, we could arise from the deadness of our sinful existence, that sleeping lethargy, and oh yes, all the things that we were not giving heed to that were of the light. But oh yes, if we can awake and arise from the dead, that dead state, and allow the light of God's word, the light of Christ, to shine forth so we could go forth and also be a light in God's sight in this world. Oh, praise our God. Praise the Lord. So, having read this, now we have words that will tell us how to live our lives in Christ. Tells us in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Oh yes, he's telling us that we walk discreetly, with wisdom, carefully, cautiously, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, with wisdom that comes from God. And then the need, verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Oh, how we need to redeem the time. The days are evil. And it tells us in verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And further it tells us in verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Oh, praise the Lord, a life that is blessed. Oh, yes, the Lord has taken us so that we might be taken out of that kingdom of darkness and be brought into his glorious kingdom of light. Oh yes, and so that that transforming power of the Holy Ghost could be reflected in our lives and change us. Oh, praise the Lord, so that indeed we can be new creatures in Christ. Oh yes, and so that we can live a life that is fruitful, and one that, oh yes, the Lord can approve of. So when we stand before him on that great day of the Lord, we can receive of his approval. Praise the Lord. We can hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in little. I will make you ruler over much. Enter thou into the joys of my Lord." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. It's a glorious thing to be taken out of the kingdom of darkness and transformed into the kingdom of light. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a glorious thing. And what an opportunity we have been given. Oh, yes, to walk in the light as our Lord is in the light. But on the other hand, let's make sure that all those other characteristics that are parts of the kingdom of darkness would never be something that we dwell in or live in or fellowship with. Praise the Lord, for God has taken us out of that and brought us into that glorious kingdom. Praise the Lord, oh, that kingdom of light that leads to that beautiful day. And we, oh yes, can forever live and reign with our God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, that moment when he presents to himself his glorious church that doesn't have spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That church that is holy and without blemish. Oh, how we want to be in his sight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. Let's give heed while we can. Let's let the Lord work in our hearts while we yet have moments to make changes and to get right in his sight. Praise the Lord. So, yes, we can stand before him and gain his approval. Praise the Lord Jesus. being part of his glorious church in the kingdom of his light. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that you would work in us. Make us wholly thine, Lord. Oh, God. Pray, oh, Lord, that you cleanse us of any unrighteousness. And, oh, God, help our hearts to be made right by thy blood, thy cleansing blood. Oh, God, thy word, oh, Lord, that speaks thy truth unto us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise our God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 156 and sing If We Walk in the Light, 156.
If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light.
God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.